then sinners plunge with beneath that flood, loose all their guilty stains. Paul cried out in Ephesians 1 and 7. He said, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Oh, brother Peter cried out in 1 Peter 1:18. He said, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained from the foundation of the world, but in these last times is made manifested unto you. Amen. Praise God. He said in 1 Peter 1 and 2, he said, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. I tell you, to get right with God, you're going to have to obey the Lord's word. You're going to have to come with faith in the shed blood of Christ hanging on that cross. He hanged there for you and for me. It was a personal attribute of his love that was manifested on that cross. He wasn't dying for the world per se. He was dying for you as an individual, me as an individual, and that other individual, and every individual that was ever born or created as a man and put upon this earth. Jesus was dying in a personal manner for you and for me. When you do like Pilate, try to wash the blood of Christ and his guilt off of you with water, you're still a lost creature. Too many people, they want to be baptized. Yeah, you ought to be baptized after you're saved. You don't get baptized to be saved. You don't get baptized before you're saved. That water can't wash away your sins and the guilt of the blood of Christ any more than it did for Pilate. That guy committed suicide. That guilt overwhelmed him. His wife warned him. Said, don't you have nothing to do with that just man. I've been warned. God warned that woman. And she warned her husband. What does Jews do? His accusers, his jury, his prosecutors. Verse 25, Matthew 27. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. God, have mercy, saints. Here they made that decision that Adam and Eve made for all of us as to be sinners. These people brought the blood of Christ and that guilt upon all descending, all succeeding generations of this terrible act of rejecting Christ and substituting a murderer and a robber named Barabbas. Give us Barabbas! Crucify Jesus! Let his blood be on us. Let the guilt of the blood be on us and on our children. Gee whiz. That blood guilt is still on the Jews. Why do you think they wound up in Hitler's cremating ovens? Why do you think in those countries that's just now becoming free of the communist tyranny, the Stalinist tyranny that's for 40 or 50 years has subjugated them to less than second-class citizens, trodden under the brutal, oh Lord, those old hobnail shoes of those communist soldiers. Poland had 6 million Jews at the beginning of Hitler's invasion in 1940. You know how many they got now? 6,000. Where'd they go? They went to Auschwitz, and they went to those other concentration camps. And also Stalin's brutality eliminated millions of them. They're the blood of Christ, and that guilt's on them. But I'm going to tell you something. It's equally, that equal guilt is on every person in this world. We are the cause of the death of Jesus Christ. He died for you and me. It was your sins and my sins that compelled God to put the Lamb without spot and without blemish on a cross and hung him between heaven and earth to bridge the gap that man could not bridge between God and man to save us out of hell. That cross stands between man and hell. God put that cross and Christ up there, so now you don't have to go to hell. Look and live. Look up and live. Look up to Jesus Christ and live. It is written in His Word. Hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. And Jesus Himself said in John 3, He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Go to hell, that is, but have everlasting life. But Jesus had to say sorrowfully in the 13th chapter of Luke, this is a sorrowful epitomization here of commentary and warning toward those that reject Him as Pilate did. In Luke, the 13th chapter, verse 1, there were present at that season some that told Christ of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. I want to tell you something. Pilate was a bloodthirsty old Roman judge or governor that ruled the province of Judea in the time of the death of Christ. He was a bloodthirsty rascal. Here, he took the Galileans and mingled their blood with his sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. Don't think them Galileans were unfortunate. Don't think them Galileans were all that bad that he took them and mingled their blood with his sacrifices, and he did it because they were sorry. They were sorry people. He said, do you think they were sinners above all the Galileans? He said, I tell you, nay, but except you that I'm talking to repents, you're going to likewise perish. Of those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you'll likewise perish. You'll be lost and go to hell. Jesus rubbed shoulders and elbows, made contact with thousands and tens of thousands in His lifetime. They were right there face to face, touching the very person that came to bring life, eternal life. He was eternal life personified. He was a personification of eternal life. 1 John 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that we also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. This then is a message which you've heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And it's the blood of Jesus and the blood of Jesus alone that can justify us before a God that has condemned us to hell unless we repent. And that means to quit your sinning and turn around and make an about face and head back to God Almighty and fall on your face before the cross of His Son and say, have mercy on me. I'm a lost sinner. My God, Americans come to the place they rub shoulders and elbows with Christians, preachers, a few, loved ones a few, acquaintances at least a few. They come face to face with eternal life and they're almost saved, but they're still lost by the millions upon millions in this republic that we're members and citizens of. God help us to let our light shine that they won't reject eternal life by looking at us and we become a stumbling block rather than someone who's an example to lead them to Christ. As the salt of the earth and as the light of this world, we make them thirsty for salvation and we show them the manifest life of a true Christian in our lifestyle.